Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Who can it be now? Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
All right, so we've thrown out the hint. We've thrown out the questions. Person has been elected to a Boston sports team Hall of Fame. Football player, no. Baseball player, yes. Before 2000, we really didn't narrow it down enough because there are numerous guys who it could be just before 2000, into 2000. But anyway, the answer was yes. Baseball Hall of Fame, no. Not a pitcher, not an outfielder, no. And I didn't throw catcher out there. I'm going to go with Jason Varitek on this one.
I'm going to go Val.
Ooh, John Valentin. Good.
I'm going to guess John Valentin.
I'm going to go with Varitek, too. Do you guys ever wonder why I go last all the time?
Yes.
Why is that?
Because you just picked one of our
I have no clue. I have absolutely zero clue. So let's get to it. Here we go, Ryan. Let's go.
This next mystery guest is a three-time All-Star and a Red Sox Hall of Famer. He finished in the top five in the MVP voting in three out of his last 4 years in Boston, including winning the 1995 American League MVP. He and another fellow slugger in Frank Thomas are looking to bring sexy back for big men with his clothing brand. Get out your notebook, Ordway. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
What's up, guys? Everybody, it's Mo Vaughn. How are you?
Oh. Damn it. And weren't we talking about Mo Vaughn the other day?
We sure were.
Oh, no. What were you saying?
Oh, we were talking about...
I was just, Mo, I had a weak moment. I actually said I thought you were one of the greatest leaders I ever played with. And you know, I was just making stuff up, Mo.
He's kissing your ass right now.
I appreciate it. Listen, I need all the help I can get.
Actually, Mo, what we were talking about is we did a whole series on players who, if you had an opportunity to see their career indifferently in Boston, who would it be? And I actually brought your name up because you were great here and then you left. And that first game, was it the first inning, the first pitch, where you had the you stepped on the dugout step out there in Anaheim, right?
Yeah, that was 5 years later. I was out of the game. Yeah, that was tough, you know. I had it going in Boston when I was there. Like I tell people, you know, us athletes, you know, we don't know what we don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you learn so much after the fact. You learn so much 15 years later. You got time to reflect on things, and you know, you just don't know what you don't know. And I'm sitting up there arguing about, you know, things that I can't control. You know, players are never going to be right. The media is always going to win that fight. I wish I had known a lot more things before I got there. But, yeah, you know, we was putting together some serious years, you know, before I left.
You know, Mo, and I remember going out to Anaheim thinking, you would just seem like your mentality was built for this city. Maybe it wasn't built for Cali, you know, Anaheim. Like, you'd like to be in it. You know, you'd like to be that part of that rivalry with the Yankees and the crowd and kind of taking a lot of responsibility. It seemed like it was a lot quieter out there. Do you just think you were built for this city? Was it different when you went out there in Anaheim?
1,000%. And it's nothing to offend or to diss Anaheim, you know. And anyway, shoot, they won a World Series after I left, so maybe I was the problem. But, you know, I also believe that when you played in Boston, the things drove you, whether it be the past players, the history, you know, what were the Green Monster, you know, all the rivalries. I tend to agree that always give you the extra win that you needed when you were feeling like you couldn't go. The fans, the pressure, all those things made you go, and it made you, you know, step it up. And I think all of those things helped me as a person, you know, going through my playoff struggles my first time, standing in front of the camera, taking on the questions, and then going back and figuring it out. That's what it's all about. And did I ever catch that again? No, not even. I tell people all the time, I don't even think, you know, I love New York, but it, you know, New York's got two teams on most sides, and you know, there's nothing like the pressure of playing Boston. And if you can handle that, it's great for you.
So what I don't get is, you know, Lou talks about you a lot, being a great leader and handling everything. And when anytime somebody talks about you, they mention that. Maybe you just embraced it. I think of other guys who come up here and they just, I guess, I don't know, they just, maybe they fight it. They don't want to be honest. They don't want to be exposed. They don't like to be vulnerable. If the Red Sox signed another free agent, what would you tell them? What'd you tell
just
them to
tell
do?
Tell the truth, man. Just. I think if you're not born and bred here, coming out of Pawtucket or the minor leagues, and you step up here, and you got to realize when you play in Boston, I don't care who you are going to get booed. It's just going to happen because you're going to struggle. And especially playing when I played in the 90s when we had won nothing, it was even tougher. It was even tougher when Lou and I played before 2004. People were meaner, nastier. The media was tougher. But you got to be a realist and look in the mirror when you play in Boston, because when you're not playing well, you know what's going to happen, and you got to take that and fix it quickly. And if you can accept that, like, hey, I know when I come back off a series 2-for-26, 3-for, you know, 30-33, that's going to be an issue, and I got to correct it. So I would tell any free agent, you know, be prepared. When you're not playing well, they're going to let you know.
Our mystery guest today, Mo Vaughn. There's no question, Mo, and Lou understands it. I understand it. We talk about it all the time. You were born too early, because from 2004 on, it all changed up here. The media, I think, became a lot softer and everything else. Every year you had to listen to 74 freaking years we haven't won a World Series, 75 freaking years, 80 years. People were going to their grave never seeing the Red Sox win. And the pressure changed when they finally won it, to the point it was almost like, and then they went it four times, and you're sitting there and go, well, this is like nothing. So you're right, the pressure that you had to deal with, but you were the guy that could take it. We talked the other day about Nomar, and Nomar was great early on, and then the pressure started to hit Nomar, and he had a rough time, you know, with the fans or whatever, but you kind of were the guy up front that would always talk with the media, always talk with us, and kind of took the pressure off everybody else.
I just thought that it was something that I was able to do. It's not easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't, you know, easy to do. But I knew it didn't help if I got to throw Nomar in front of the camera, knowing that that's not his thing, or a pitcher, or, you know, maybe I'd say something crazy when I knew it was, you know, somebody else was going to get, you know, hit a little bit harder, and I knew it was really going to affect him in a negative way. I'd say something else just to put the pressure back on the guys that could take it. But it just, you know, I came up with a lot of guys. I was raised by some of the, you know, the Roger Clemens and the Tony Peñas and some of the other guys in the, you know, Ellis Burks, you know, even, you know, Mike Greenwood and I became great friends when it was over, and this was what was part of of what was going on and what you had to deal with. And if you could take the pressure off of guys that you know it was really going to affect, that's going to help your ball club.
You know, Mo, you
know, if I get guys, guys to go home and be able to go to sleep and I'm you know, I can handle it, good. That's what we can do, because ultimately we're just trying to win here.
You know, Nomar kind of stuck around after you, and then here comes Pedro. Manny comes into town. David Ortiz shows up in 03. You win World Series, but it seems like Red Sox Nation now, they think about those players moving forward. They're championship players, and I feel like they didn't appreciate kind of what you were doing in the 90s because you were before that crew. Do you ever think about sticking around, like how that would have changed having Nomar, Manny, you in the middle of that order, how dangerous that could have been?
Listen, it was fun, you know. After '95, you know, I won that, you know, won the MVP, and hell, and you know, Albert and I could have each won it. It luckily went my way, but it gave me a certain amount of confidence when I walked around and I walked in the clubhouse. I knew guys were looking for me to lead, and we all enjoyed it. It was what it was supposed to be, and I couldn't imagine being on a championship team playing in Fenway Park, walking around the city, you know, with that, able to have that flag back in your back pocket. But I had the flags in my back pocket anyway, because I even know now, just walking around and talking, I live in Florida now, you know, there's nothing but Yankee fans around here. The amount of trash that I get to talk to them now is just unfathomable, and I feel the release. Even though I wasn't on the field, the first championship they won in 2004, I felt the release of the stress and the tension, and all that came off of me the same way. So I get to feel some of it also, and I walk very proudly about what the Boston Red Sox have become and what they are. And like I say this, you know, it's no knock on anybody else, but we got management now that wants to win, and when you have management and ownership that wants to win, you're going to have a better chance of winning.
So Mo, you know, are you following the game now? Are you following anything that's going on with a lot of these players, and you know whether they'll come back or not? The 67-page report and the guy. Have you been following this at all?
I've been following a little bit. I just think it's very, very difficult to put people in the stands under these circumstances. Then you got the ownership and the players and the money and all this other stuff. And
yeah, because my thing is real quick. My thing was, someone's going to be blamed for this. Someone's going to be, if they don't play baseball, someone's going to take the blame for this. You think it'll be the players or the owners?
It's always the players. No matter what happens, no matter, because everybody's always going to say the average guy waking up, going to his job every day, is going to say, what are these crazy ball players talking about? I'm making my going to work, and these guys are haggling over this or that. It's never going to go our way. When in turn, you know, our owners are able to absorb this brunt much easier than anybody else, but their earnings are not disclosed. All of our earnings and salaries are disclosed, and that's what the difference is.
Hey, Mo, you still have that MVP collection, that clothing line?
Man, let me tell you something. I've been very lucky, you know. I'm in the affordable housing game in New York City, mm-hmm. And I've been very, very lucky that business is still going well. My clothing line is doing great. I mean, we're up, you know, 200% through this pandemic, which is like unbelievable. I'm down here now. I got Mo Vaughn Baseball Academy. I got an academy down here where I'm coaching. You know, I have, you know, teams, and I coach these kids. You know, I got my son. You know, my son is going to be 8 years old in June, and he's a much better athlete hitter than I ever was. But it's given me the ability to go out and use the game to coach people, coach young people, go, you know, boys and girls, softball also, and get involved. So I've been very fortunate through this time. You know, you're sitting home with your family every day, and I don't know how good that is all the time, but, you know, Yeah, Jesus Christ. But you guys know. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we do.
You know, you're happy to go get on the radio for a few hours a day, believe me.
No. Mo, we're doing the shows from our houses right now.
Oh, that's right. You guys are doing the shows, but you're not even leaving the house again.
No.
You're at home, but listen, you know, you get to break the tension a little bit. But I've been very, very fortunate, you know, to be where I am. Things are okay. We're getting through this situation, and hopefully we can get better at it as the months come forward.
That clothing line, I believe you're trying to bring sexy back to big men. So I always wanted to know if you could help out our little big man here, Big O, and try to help him. Any advice how he can get sexy back?
Listen, just when we get off this phone, you're going to text some sizes, and we're going to get you ready, bro. Don't worry about it. I got you. You're all good.
He's not big and sexy. By the way, short and fat.
Mo, since the last time I've seen you, I haven't gotten any taller. I just want you to know.
Hey, Lou, Derek Bragg always used to tell you, if you can't get tall, get wide.
Braggy, with his shakedown cash.
That's right. Get wide, bro. Don't worry about it.
All right, so they threw me under the bus yesterday, and they asked ML Carr a personal question about me. So I would like you to give us a personal story about Lou Maloney. Maybe rookie season, maybe something that happened early on. Might embarrass him a little bit.
Nothing.
I don't really have, you know, Lou, let me tell you something about Lou. I talk to people about, you know, guys that come up all the time. And Lou was just, if you want to know how to come up as a utility player looking to make your name and get in the game, Lou was the guy that knew how to do that. He was always ready. He was always on time. He was a great teammate. He was always positive when you're feeling terrible. You know, he's got some joke or something to say to break the ice.
He wouldn't shut up.
He's always talking, but he's always positive, and you need, he's what you call guys that are glue guys on the team. If you have everybody like, you know, selfish and going their own direction, you can't win like that. But he was one of the guys that you know, you say, damn, man, I wish I had that attitude when I was his age. I probably would be a little bit better of a player. I probably would have learned a little bit more. I probably would have been better. You know what I'm saying? But he was. I got nothing to say. I wish I could have something to say about Lou, but I got nothing to say about him.
Well, Mo, I'll say this, because you're probably not surprised I do radio for a living, because I did like to talk. But I do remember Val coming up to me one day and saying, hey, Mo pulled me aside and told me that I had to go talk to you because you got to shut up sometimes. Lou talks too much, Val. Calm him down.
That's just freaking Val throwing me under the bus because he just wanted you to shut up himself.
Sunshine.
Nothing wrong with
Sunshine,
that.
Sunshine, baby.
Have somebody else do it. Well, at least tell us that you got sad or cried when Lou said to you at the end of a game, they're sending me down to Pawtucket again.
Don't do it to me.
I got to go on 95 again.
No, Lou was good.
Mo, it was great catching up with you again, and thank you very much. You got us as our mystery guest, so we really appreciate it, and we're glad things are going well with you. Stay well, okay?
I need one more thing. I want you all. If you need a car wash, I need you all to go down to Triple Play Car Wash in North Attleboro and see my boy Terrence and get a car wash.
There you go. Christian, right. You're right down the street.
I know exactly where it's at.
There you go.
Give me the cheat code. What is the code for a discount?
Hey Mo.
Say, the code for the discount is Mo. Call. Go see Terrence. He knows who. He knows what it is.
Hey, Mo, I give it to you. You haven't lost your touch. You got a little plug in there. Nice job. I appreciate it.
You know, listen, we got to do what we got to do. Thanks
exactly.
a lot, guys.
All right,
thank
Mo.
You.
Later, man.
See you later. The great Mo Vonner, mystery guest today.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, back here in OMF. None of us got the mystery guest today.
Good one, though. That was a good one.
That was an excellent one.
Yeah. Love Mo.
Terrific. Mo was an awful lot of fun. We were just talking off the air about Mo, and Mo was the one guy that not only did he not fear the media, I think he enjoyed every day. So he would read what was in the paper, or he would listen to something that was on the talk show the next day. If he saw you or you brought him on your show, he would just rip you one.
Yeah. You know, you wonder what he'd be like if he was... Yeah, I don't in that locker room the last 3 or 4 years, somebody like David Price.
He'd be different because we've talked about this many times, and you played on that last team, I think, that really faced unfair pressure, just far too much pressure, because they had not won in 86 years. But from 84 on, it's all been different. It really has. That's why I laugh when I see David Price bitching about the pressure and playing. Stop it. Please, the media is soft right now in this town on the whole. And you go back to before 2004, you know, the Bruins hadn't won since, what, 72? The 86 was the Celtics. And the Patriots never. And what are we talking about? So they had just turned the corner there. So in 1990s, Patriots weren't part of this.
No.
The people were still pissed at the Bruins. And the Celtics had, you know, they had hadn't won since 86. So it was pent up by the fans, and the media just took these guys apart. It's all different right now. Talking about that, how about the most hated Boston sports villain of all time? So we ran a poll on Twitter. Who is the most hated Boston sports villain of all time? Roger Goodell won the thing, not surprisingly, with 62%. Nope. A-Rod, apparently the new and improved A-Rod is not going over well here in Boston, because he was second at 26%, LeBron at 9%, and Rex Ryan at 3%?
I wouldn't put Rex in there.
I wouldn't either.
I think those three are good.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, if you're going to be a villain, you're going to have to... Like, no, I don't think anybody hated Rex Ryan. I thought most of
they
us
laughed
pretty
at
much
him.
Liked him. I loved him.
Yeah.
It was just a break. A-Rod, oh man, I mean, I still kind of hate A-Rod.
Yeah,
I mean, most of these
villain.
Guys, you would think, you know, because he was just kind of, he felt like, I don't know, for me, you know, from afar, he felt like he was stuck up, you know, he felt like he was a baby,
he was
overpaid.
He was.
There was just like every advantage in the world this guy got. And then he goes to the Yankees after going, what, to Texas from Seattle. I mean, this, you know, but what? But there's some other guys on there. I actually can't believe they didn't even make the list.
Can I just mention one thing about A-Rod? Because if you watched A-Rod and the remanufacturing of this brand that is Alex Rodriguez with J-Lo and the whole works, I just saw Ken Osman, the guy that played Eddie Haskell on Leave It to the Beaver, just died. And it was a great character. And the character, he was always the guy that behind closed doors, he's ripping you. And then he's going up, hi, Mrs. Cleaver, and playing that game. That's A-Rod. And A-Rod did that the other day. So A-Rod now suddenly wants to become an owner, right?
Yeah.
And what does he do after he's made all of his money? He basically chastises the players for not accepting this deal. What a bunch of bull. He is just playing up to the owners because he wants them to accept him. He wasn't going to knock the owners in that. He wasn't going to take a middle road and say, hey, both of you have got to come to the table because he needs those other owners if he wants to be an owner. That, to me, is just such crap.
No, I'm with you. A-Rod, I mean, Goodell, I definitely, you know, there's no question he's probably the biggest villain in this town. And I think A-Rod's a good one, too. But guy that didn't make our list that I think a lot of Bruins fans would have number one in their list would be Ulf Samuelsson.
I think he might be number one overall if you were dealing with older people here, yes.
Because you're dealing with Cam Neely, who people to this day still love. And just the battles that these two had. And I know it was the degenerate hip, and maybe it wasn't the hit and the knee, whatever it was. But still, Ulf Samuelsson, I think people would sit there and say he's number one. I mean, you know, Roger Goodell is lately, and A-Rod, I get it. But Samuelsson, man, Bruins fans.
But what about lesser known? You know, the guy that's kind of haunted the Patriots in particular has always been right in the middle of a really bad injury with one of your star players, one of your best players, was Bernard Pollard.
No question.
Between Brady and then Gronk, right. I don't know if you can find one guy that had more to do with, you know, star injuries than that dude.
I agree with you. I think the difference is, Ulf Samuelsson did the same thing. This wasn't just a random hit on Cam Neely, and I don't think Cam was ever the same. He was doing this to everybody. He was by far the dirtiest player in the league, and he was out to take people out. That's was what he was doing. Pollard, you know, Brady came back, Gronk came back, so those guys came back, and they were effective. As a Bruins fan here, you look at Cam Neely and say he was never the same. I think he ended his career, but he was never the same player.
Like a villain has to somehow,
ooh, Matt Cook's another one,
ruin you, right? Has to win one on you, has to get something on you. Like Goodell is a perfect one because he's just constantly just needling you and just attacking you over really petty stuff.
Let's go, guys.
So Goodell ultimately probably, what about Terrell Suggs?
More with the mouth than anything else, though, wouldn't you say?
Bart Scott.
The mouth than anything else. Again, different than.
But I mean, I guess there's different categories then, you know. Because I'd put Rex Ryan in there, with Bart Scott and Terrell Suggs, and Bernard Pollard would probably have his own category.
I think when you're looking at Pollard taking a player out, in a sense, it was two different players, and Ulf Samuelsson, as I said, I think they're in a different league. These other guys, it's bore their mouth. I'll tell you what, Roger Goodell probably will get a much different treatment if he ends up bringing football back in the fall and he becomes the first commissioner to bring his team sport back into the picture. And we hate him here in New England because of the whole Brady situation. I mean, the 18 months of Deflategate.
Yeah, I feel like that. I mean, he'll always get booed when he gets here, but we kind of already won that battle. Like, they won a Super Bowl right after it happened.
Yeah.
Then they won,
but they still hate him, though. There's nothing wrong with still hating him.
It's all about holding a grudge, Lou.
You got to be able to hold a grudge. There's no question about it.
Old school NBA, I would say Bill Laimbeer may have been the most hated player ever in the game, in the NBA. He was hated.
Yeah.
First of all, he had an attitude. He was very wealthy going into the league. His father was rich. So he was one of the only players, if not the only player, who was actually making less money than his father was. And he was just a needler. He was one of those guys that would create something and then run and hide, which is the worst. in the old days, you could cold cock him, and that's what Robert Parrish did at one time. Larry Bird punched him one time. In those old days, that's what you could do. And Isaiah Thomas is the other one, and you heard what Michael Jordan said about him in The Last Dance. Hated him. And he wasn't alone.
It's funny, the Bill Laimbeer, like, just to kind of, you know, just make a quick little turn real quick, not totally hard right, but a lot of these villains that we're talking about, these bad guys, they all end up kind of, when you see them 20, 25 years later, they've kind of changed. They've kind of said, well, you know, when you're young, you don't really get it. And, you know, it was in the spirit of the game, and we were the bad boys and blah, all this money, grew up with a neck, could do anything he wanted to, could say anything he wanted to anybody at any point in time and never be punished for it.
And run and hide.
And then run and hide. Yeah. You know, when it gets too hot, he runs and hides. You know? So,
I mean, with the Sox, you could probably put, you know, Bucky Dent, Aaron Boone in the same category.
Yes. But it's only funny because of what they did. Their accomplishments, more than that's where you're putting them in there.
Yeah, that's all. Right. But I mean, wouldn't you think that some people would actually, even though we talk about this guy before, but put Clemens on a villain?
Yes.
Back then?
Yeah.
I mean, I know when he was on the Yankees, it was, you know, Clemens, you know, and again, the way he left Boston, Toronto, now he's joining the New York Yankees. You get Susan Waldman up there. Clemens is in Steinbrenner's box. Whee! You know, and then him and Pedro battling out for those years. So,
of all the dramatic things I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, Clemens would be
goodness gracious.
Yeah, I think they've softened a little bit here with Roger. But, yeah, there was a period for a long period of time going to Toronto and saying that he left because he wanted to go closer to home than Houston. And then, of course, eventually becoming a Yankee. And that was – how about Kyrie Irving? They loved him when he came here. Even the people that loved Isaiah Thomas were willing to shed the little guy and go with Kyrie Irving once they saw, oh, my God, he's got the greatest handles I've ever seen.
The most
before.
Humane things that make us human, we lose track of sometimes.
Oh, my God. I put him in the biggest dope category, just the biggest false hero.
Fraud.
Just, I mean, really, we should have it. Tomorrow we need to have another category. It's got to be dope biggest of the frauds. No, frauds.
My appreciation for the world goes deeper than I think a lot of people realize.
And now he's one of those frauds. There's no question. He's on that high list. I don't know if I'd say bad guy, a villain or whatever. I'd say more fraud. He's one of these guys that thinks he's, you know, on top of everything, and really he's not.
I mean, but David Price isn't even in that category, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't even bring up his name. I mean, because he's
a villain.
He did help you win a World Series. Yeah, he was overpaid. Nobody liked him, but he wasn't. I would put him in that Kyrie category.
Yeah, no, it's Price and Kyrie, while they're here, just annoyed the hell out of you. Yeah. You knew they were talented, but you didn't. You know, and I think there was obviously more hatred for Price than there was for Kyrie at the time.
Yeah.
While he was here. Because, I mean, people still looked at Kyrie and they're like, you know, he's still a great player. It's more like the minute he left, it was just, okay. Now my true feelings come out. I don't like him. But Price, I felt like very unique playing here, people didn't like.
What would that category be? Most irritating athlete? John Lackey would be in that category, would he not?
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny. Even with Kyrie, the more he talked, the more he exposed himself. And you would have think that someone would have said, dude, you got to stop talking, man. They're on to you.
That is all reality-based, and I live in that world.
Well, hold on. When you say the more he talked, when he first stated that the earth was flat, did you not at that point suddenly say, this guy's a total fraud?
I just thought that was just, I just thought he was just messing with everybody, and I appreciated that. I mean, that's the stuff that I kind of like, you know, screw him, I'm just going to keep playing around.
Sure.
Yeah, but you knew he didn't really believe it, but just the holier than thou, you know, rhetoric that came out of his mouth over and over and over again, just the deep, like he was some deep thinker. Like we were supposed to believe that he was this deep thinker, like Gandhi, like dribbling a basketball. It was just so fraudulent.
You're very much woke. There is no such thing as distraction.
I'm looking at some of the other names that are on the list. Eric Mangini, first short period of time, right?
Yeah, Spygate.
He was pretty bad there. Yeah. You know, he was about as close to Fredo as anyone has ever gotten.
Yes, Fredo, I would say he was in the Fredo category.
It's crazy because I remember talking to him about that. It's like, man, do you realize how you're viewed in Boston? They think you're Fredo. And he told a totally different story. He was telling me that the whole, like, video game, whatever the hell they called it, was they kept warning him, said, listen, don't do it, don't do it. And they kept doing it. And they all got the same information. They all got the memo. So he's like, wait a second. What is this? Like, and it's not like Mangini doesn't know how it works in that office. So he put a stop to it. And that's, and then he's a Fredo. I just thought that was
would you
crazy.
Put, like, and this is where the guy, like Peyton Manning, I think, you know, people look at as
no.
a villain.
No, I don't. I don't. Mean, I that's a rival. That's the difference, that's a rival.
That's right. What I'm saying. So that's a rival. Like, I would say, like, you hated, people hated Peyton Manning like they hated Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
But it's not
respect.
A villain.
No, total respect. Total respect. Yeah, all right, we'll open up the phone lines. See if some people want to throw some villains out there. Biggest villain in Boston sports history. Most hated Boston sports villain of all time. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
If you can't get tall, get wide.
Yeah, that's one thing I've accomplished in life, Mo Vaughn. Mo Vaughn was our mystery guest of the day. Very good. Good stuff. 617-779-7937, the most hated villains in Boston sports history. See, Peyton Manning doesn't play for me because, one, we had great respect for Peyton Manning. We feared Peyton Manning because he was so freaking good, okay? And you knew when you were playing a Peyton Manning team, it was going to be a tough out. I'll tell you what, though. His personality doesn't make you really hate him. I mean, he's terrific when he's doing these commercials. This Peyton Play stuff he does on ESPN+, it's really good, guys. The one he did with Brady, if you haven't seen it yet, watch it. You know, they're playing golf in Jim Nance's backyard. It really is good. It is well done. So he's got a great personality. I'll tell you a quick Peyton Manning story. We're up at Fenway Park up in the luxury box. You know where the EEI luxury box is one night. And Mikey Adams, who bet everybody at the station for something, lost a bet because he went on the air and he said the Patriots are going to win and they lost the game to Peyton Manning. So his booby prize for losing was he had to wear a Peyton Manning shirt for an entire week. So that night, we're all going over and we're broadcasting the shows over at Fenway Park, and we're up at the luxury box, and we walk into the luxury box and out in the front where the seats are out there. And who's sitting right to the left of Mikey but Peyton Manning? He's in the box right to the next to us. I don't know. Is that the Reebok box right to the left of us? So we all told Peyton Manning that Mikey Adams was the biggest Peyton Manning fan. Mikey every night was ripping the crap out of Peyton Manning. For Mikey, in his mind, Peyton Manning was the biggest villain in Boston sports history, and he would kill him. And, of course, Peyton Manning bought into the whole thing, hook, line, and sinker. And we had a fun night sitting around for hours talking to Peyton Manning. And he thought all along that Mikey Adams was his biggest fan. And Mikey absolutely hated him. Hated him. Mikey played along. No, he kept on saying, oh, you're great. You're great. Oh, Mikey did a great job. He just played the whole thing up. But Manning couldn't have been better. I mean, he was fun, guys. He really was. So I got a couple villains for you guys. Lou, Donnie Sadler. Was he your villain?
No.
Was he on your new? No.
You're just in my way.
Yeah. And Christian Mike Vrabel. No?
Again,
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's a joke that keeps on giving.
Too soon. I know.
Wait,
it's
too soon. Yes, too soon.
Again.
Oh, my God.
All right, to the phone calls. Biggest sports villain in Boston. Here's Bob down on the Cape. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you guys are talking about biggest villains. Kyle Crawford comes to mind. Ooh. Big money, big position. I think we came from Tampa, talked a good game, laid an egg.
Did he really talk a good game? I just think, you know, one of the worst free agent signings.
Yeah, that's
a category for him. Yeah. But was he a villain just because he didn't play well? Did you hate him?
Style of play I did. Style of play I did.
Yeah, I just think that people, he came here and lose right. It was an awful signing. It was a terrible signing. Did you see that? A woman and a 5-year-old boy drowned in Carl Crawford's pool the other day.
Mm.
I just saw it. I saw it the other day. Yeah, it happened like this last
random
week.
Random people or like?
No,
like
people. No, I think family. I think they were people he knew. No, the people that were close to him. Yeah. Todd's in Salem. Jeez. Next up here in EEI. Hi, Todd.
Party bring the whole to show a halt down. There.
Yeah. Any other death updates? Glenn, you want to get involved?
Anybody die? Glenn?
I'm just trying to give you news. We can check it out and find out exactly who it is. Hello, Todd.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
How about Jack Tatum?
Ooh. Jack Tatum took
hated
out Daryl.
Yeah, yep.
Took out Daryl Stingley in maybe the worst hit I've ever seen in football. Paralyzed him from the chest down. And a preseason game in 1998.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yep. Never followed up. Never apologized.
Yeah, he never did.
You know, I've seen a lot of videos.
Have you seen that? Have you seen that, Christian?
Yeah, it really is. So the hit is one thing. The I won't apologize is just you're just being a. Come on, man. I mean, can you a little compassion?
They were the Dirty Raiders at the time. They didn't apologize for anybody.
I know, but
that was their swagger.
I'm with you.
I know, but when you get a little bit older, can you really? The guy can't walk. You know what? Back when I was young and bold and crazy, I didn't give a crap about anybody. Now bad things have happened to me, and I can understand the error of my ways. I'm just amazed how there for some people there's just no growth whatsoever.
We're doing that show next Tuesday. The big fellow, Mr. Fourier, apologizes to all the people he screwed over the years. That's Tuesday's show at 4:00.
That's a very short list, by the way.
Oh, sure it is. There it is. Here's Owen in Cambridge. What do you got, Owen?
Hey, guys, what about Kelly Olynyk? You know, you ever lose
your problem with him?
That guy?
No.
Come on. They drafted him over the Greek Freak.
Yeah, they
did. If they didn't draft him, the next year they would have had Jokic. We'd have the Greek Freak, Jokic. We'd have Smart, Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Olynyk. He should never have been born, that guy.
Yeah, but
He shows up to the Cape and flip-flops on the skateboard and they're trying to recruit Durant. Come on. Kelly Olynyk is the Boston's worst villain. He should never have been born.
It looks like Kelly Olynyk.
See, I think he went a little overboard, but his final point about the fact that they show up with Kelly Olynyk trying to attract Durant. I can understand Tom Brady coming out to try to attract Durant, but you bring Kelly Olynyk? Like Kevin Durant's going to sit there and say, oh my God. Kelly Olynyk's here? Signing with Boston.
The guy's got a point. Out of all the people, and you know what? In our regulator, the guy that doesn't take nothing from nobody, you haven't really heard of him yet. Hey, bring out Kelly.
He's got
bring
a man
out,
who?
First of all, he's got a girl's name. Two, yeah, then he's got a man bun. Three, he may be like just a larger version of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, very much so. Here's Woody down in the cave. Woody!
We can't say that. I just got scolded for that.
Christian dropped that one earlier.
I tell you what,
shining example.
The one thing about Lemieux, though.
Lemieux, Cook, Matt Cook, right?
Yeah, we mentioned Matt Cook earlier, but if you remember, Lemieux took out Chris Draper of the Red Wings. That was a bad hit. Like, he had his jaw wired up and the whole works. But Lemieux was one of those type of guys, but I'll tell you what, you didn't want to face him in the playoffs. He was a killer in the playoffs. Norm is in Central Falls. Norm?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Norm.
What a beautiful day it is. So beautiful. You guys have changed subjects a couple of times since I've been on hold. So number one, Yami Yaga, all day long, every day. Number two,
Jeremy Yager.
Oh, Yager. Okay.
Yager.
All right.
Number two, when Mo was in Pawtucket, he lived in a Ferlin apartment building on South Bend Street in Pawtucket, where my buddy lived. And we'd go outside and sit on the steps and try to kill a case. And Mo would come home, and he was such a great guy and so regular. Then when he went to Boston, I think he was still living in Pawtucket for a little while, and he hadn't changed a bit. And I have to say, I'm only 5'3", but Mo was the biggest human being I have ever seen in my life.
Here's some pause.
If you can't get tall, get wide.
Yeah.
All right, Norm, thank you. Let's go to Dave. Dave's in Connecticut. Hello, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Dave?
I just want to bring back the old Ralph Sampson beating up, was it Jerry Seastin?
Jerry Seastin,
right?
Yes.
Sampson in Cincinnati.
Yes. I'll tell you what, Ralph Sampson was a great guy, though. Great, terrific guy. But he did try to beat up the littlest guy on the floor out there in Jerry C's thing. This one will be good for Christian. Here's Frank. Frank's in the car. Hi, Frank.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
What? Why are you going to start? I have two, and the both of them I think could qualify. The one that they put me on for here is Kurt Rambis, and the other one would be Bill Laimbeer.
Well, you're right about Kurt Rambis, because remember what he did. He got Rambis in the way of Kevin McHale, and Rambis just tried to destroy Kevin McHale in a big playoff game. That was a disgrace.
You know what? It's so funny. It's he was our Bill Laimbeer, basically.
Yeah. So
goofy glasses, you know, couldn't see. Was just wrecking people. If he couldn't make a shot, he was just going to push somebody down. Completely out of control half the time. I mean, he was basically he was our Bill Laimbeer.
Well, that's what Laker fans used to show up at the games all wearing the Kurt Rambis glasses,
yeah,
even though they didn't need glasses. They'd all wear them, right? Yeah.
I mean,
Laimbeer
is
a good one, though.
You could
but Rambis is right there with him in Boston.
You could go through 80s, 90s-ish basketball and find a Kurt Rambis type on every team. You can find one of those guys, Dennis Rodman-esque, on every single team. Because you want it. It's almost like, you know, the regulator, the guy that would fight in hockey, which doesn't happen anymore. A guy can't skate, can't score, but he regulates. He gets in fights. He protects your number one guy. That doesn't happen anymore. So back then, that was every team had one of those guys.
Yeah, they did. But you're right. The people jumped all over the Rambis look with the glasses. I remember when we first saw Rambis wearing those big, huge glasses, we all thought he was in disguise doing like a Hanson Brothers. You know, from Slapshot, he was wearing the big old rim glasses. And then everybody said, that's what he's really like.
But unlike Bill Laimbeer, he changed. He evolved. There's growth there. He's a good
there
human
is.
Being. He's
just
not
because he was on the Lakers. You sure about that?
No. I can tell you, he 100%.
Who's on the list?
Parrish. Why isn't Parrish on this list?
Oh, Parrish,
wasn't he kind of a jerk?
He decked Laimbeer. No,
he's hitting everybody.
No, he was not. He was not a vicious guy.
Callahan
he was just
loved Parrish. I think Parrish was Callahan's favorite.
No, Callahan player. Didn't like him because there was
I'm
a
kidding.
A, yeah, okay.
Sports Illustrated. Hello.
With him
jeez. Oh no, you're wrong about that one. Are you wrong
Maggot.
About that one?
This last hour has been sponsored by Northeast Men's Health. Now open in Dedham, next to Legacy Place. We're going to go the next 30 minutes commercial-free, and we're only going to leave you here for a minute, then Mutt's going to do the little COVID-19 update, and then we're right back to the calls.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.